Hi there, I'm Jim Weber at Concord TV, and welcome to Community Conversations. Today we're focusing on community arts, and specifically the Community Players of Concord. Community Players of Concord have been around for quite a while, and you'll hear how long in just a few minutes. Now I have to tell you one thing, and full disclosure, not if anyone cares or not, I don't know, but this is not an impartial host we're having today. I must tell you, I've been involved with the Players for a number of years, in addition to working at Concord TV. So I do have, I'm actually in charge of publicity for the Community Players, and that's also one of the reasons that we're here today. We have a very important event coming up in just a few short days, as a matter of fact. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But I do want to introduce my guests right now. We have the co-founder and director of our children's theater project, Karen Braz.
Thank you.
Who has been, she'll tell you about the children's theater project in just a moment. And we also have Ellen Berger, who is the president of the Players Board of Directors, an actor, performer, singer with the Players as well, and wears many hats like all of us do in this day and age, as we all know, to make it work. So thank you. Welcome, Ellen. Welcome, Karen.
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah. First of all, I want to hear about the big show we have coming up this coming weekend, and let's get right to it.
Finding Nemo Jr. The Children's Theater Project is celebrating its 28th season of being a theater for youth under the auspices of the Players. And we have 38 young actors, ages 7 to 16, mm-hmm. in Finding Nemo Jr. It's based, obviously, on the very popular, I think it was 2003 movie mm-hmm. of Finding Nemo, but this is a musical on stage that they've added a number of songs to from the movie, from not being a musical as a movie. Mm-hmm. And we've just been rehearsing. We had auditions in June before school gets out because it's too difficult to find the kids,
right?
You know, going off here, there, and everywhere. So we did the auditions in June, and we started music rehearsals at the end of August, and then rehearsals full in beginning of September, and we're ready to rock and roll.
That's great. Weekend. And from what I can see, I was actually in the rehearsal room the other day, and I was kind of blown away by your scenery is not only colorful and beautifully painted, and will be beautifully lit on the stage, mm-hmm. I have no doubt. But it's so imaginative. You have things coming down from up above and things floating in midair or floating in the ocean or we can see the ocean level and people are under the water and everything. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, it's just gonna be a wild show, I think.
Yeah, you know? It's really, the set design is charming. It's by Wally Pino, who used that word yesterday, because when we moved it into City Auditorium, we had to take, it's a coral reef.
Yes.
So we had to take it in four pieces. And of course, the loading dock at the audience is like this big.
Right.
So they brought it over the audience seats at one point and all of this. But then we got it on stage, and our scenic artist, Sarah Taylor, who is phenomenal, spent literally all day yesterday gluing coral onto it.
Wow.
So you can't even believe what it looks like now.
No.
You can't even believe what it looks
like now. Right, because it didn't have that at the studio.
At the studio, because we didn't want to move it. It was
home. So. Now, this stage version of Finding Nemo Jr., has it been done in Concord at all? Is this the first production in Concord?
No, it's the first production in Concord, but I think the Palace has done it in Manchester.
Okay.
I know that RB Productions is going to be doing the kids' version, because there's the junior version, which is, it runs a little over an hour. We are going to have an intermission, so it'll probably be an hour and a half total.
I see. Okay.
But there's about a half an hour version for littles, like 5 to 9-year-olds, kids.
But I think one thing, and correct me if I'm wrong with this, is that even though it's Finding Nemo Jr., mm-hmm. which is a somewhat abbreviated version mm-hmm. for a slightly younger cast or made amenable for a cast to do, you're doing it as a full-up production. It's not, the production is not cut down at all.
No, I don't
think it anywhere.
All of the kind of things that we set goals for in terms of set and costumes and lighting and all of that is full-blown, you know, on stage like any production that an adult would participate
in. Adult musical, right.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've said recently on a email blast that, you know, the sets and the costumes are going to be worth the price of admission.
Mm-hmm.
all by themselves.
Right.
And then, of course, you add the wonderful cast, the wonderful crew, the lighting, the music, the dancing that Caleb Anderson, a former CTP kid himself, mm-hmm. is the choreographer, created. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Well, I have to say I didn't mean to be a spy while I'm painting in the corner for another show, but I have to say the energy mm-hmm. and the humor mm-hmm. and the reactions of the mm-hmm. cast members with each other and the harmony, the singing was like terrific.
Yes,
you know, whatever.
Yes, yeah, that they do a great job.
Tony
Bongiorno
wonderful
is
music
the
director.
Music director.
For years,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
And they were just an amazing cast.
Yeah, it's great.
But to see this full production at the City Auditorium mm-hmm. in a full-scale way, I mm-hmm. think, is very exciting. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned tickets are very reasonable for this show,
yes,
right?
I think
they're $15 for adults,
yep.
you know?
Yep, $15, so. And you can buy them online
yep.
At the Players website. And the show itself is Friday night at 7,
mm-hmm.
the curtain is at 7, and Saturday at 2.
Right.
And then, you know, we have our rehearsals all this week,
sure.
Monday through Thursday.
And I would add, it's this coming weekend.
It's yes. this weekend.
Friday, October
yes.
20,
yeah.
Saturday, yeah. October 21. Yeah. So just a few days away.
Yeah, yeah. just yeah. really a few
yes.
days away.
And we at Cochrane TV, I made them aware of that.
Yes.
We want to get this program right on the
yeah.
air, you
yes.
know,
yes.
to help you guys out.
Yeah.
Not that you need it, because you're already doing very well with ticket sales.
Yeah.
People, I think, are very excited
yeah.
about this show. Because
it is reserved yeah. seating this mm-hmm. year. Usually we have general seating.
Right.
It's reserved seating because we've got 38 kids in the cast.
Right.
We want to make sure the parents get their tickets and their seats early to see their child. And
sure.
So other people who are interested in coming to see it
yeah.
Will be downstairs, and the balcony will
okay.
be open too.
And I think, you know, it's certainly priced well for family enjoyment,
mm-hmm.
and that's
mm-hmm.
terrific.
Yep.
But also for people who have never seen the stage version,
mm-hmm.
just to get a taste of
yes.
it. And
yes.
really the energy of the Children's Theater Project performers. It's very interesting to see, not to go on, but the Sound of Music is
mm-hmm.
happening concurrently and
mm-hmm.
will be happening another month down the road. But many of the young people in that have come up through
yes,
the Children's
through the
Theater
Children's
Project,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, it was
and
fun to see the cast.
It's really
I go,
fun.
Oh, I know her.
Yeah,
her.
And I don't even follow, you know, I don't have children, so I don't follow them that directly. But I notice, I go, oh, look at them. They're,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
You can
yep.
see them growing
yep.
up within the company.
And two of the Nemo cast are in Sound of Music.
Really? They are.
The
well.
Two littlest girls.
Oh, the two little girls.
Yeah,
yeah,
who, yeah. Hazel
and
Violet.
Hazel
and
Violet. Yes,
yeah.
terrific, terrific.
Yeah.
So we're very excited about that.
Oh,
yeah,
we're so
and it's a great kickoff
it.
To, I think, a season that looks like we are kind of back, you know, back
mm-hmm.
on track after 3 or 4 years of, you know, ups and down with
mm-hmm.
the pandemic
mm-hmm.
and struggling. And I'm going to transition into
mm-hmm.
into Ellen for a moment,
mm-hmm.
if that's okay.
Yes, of course.
But before we change
sure.
topics,
mm-hmm.
on the topic of
yep.
the reasonable prices, it's
$15. Sure.
Every seat is $15, reserved seating. But a show of this magnitude in terms of costumes and sets,
mm-hmm.
and also the royalties that we pay for a Pixar/Disney show,
mm-hmm.
just and the rental of the auditorium,
mm-hmm.
we can't produce the show
mm-hmm.
for what we get in ticket sales.
Right.
And so it is critical, and we're very blessed to have corporate sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
And also advertisers in our program.
Mm.
So I
right.
want to mention that Merrimack Valley Savings Bank is the sponsor for the Players' entire season,
mm-hmm.
and that helps support
mm-hmm.
this show.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then specifically supporting this show, helping us to do it in a way we can afford to do, is Gripponi Automotive.
Yes.
And Nathan Wexler.
Yes.
Those three corporate sponsors are really, their contributions are critical. That
yes.
is the only way these tickets
it would not can be,
possible. Be $15.
And certainly not possible to do it up to the level you're doing it
right,
at, you know,
right.
with the costumes, which
right.
We had, you know, we had Dory and Nemo
yes.
here the other day doing a PSA.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just blown away with
mm-hmm.
the look
mm-hmm.
of the costumes. They
yeah.
look so terrific.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Kate Mara is the costumer.
Yes.
She's extraordinary
mm-hmm.
at what she does and what she can put. Because, you know, the thing about Nemo, there's three characters who never change on stage.
Right.
It's Nemo and Dory and Marlin.
Yes.
The two clownfish and the little blue tang.
Right.
Then 35 other kids have anywhere between 2 to 5
costume changes. Wow.
Because there's the big crowd of moonfish and the big crowd of sea turtles and the big crowd of this and that, and it's insane.
And I noticed
there's over 100 costumes.
And props. I noticed a lot of them have props and fish and all these things, the accoutrements that go with them, you know. So this is a big show. There's a lot to this show.
And I will say that the parents of the actors also play a large role in the production, because they help to, when they can, to paint and to move the set and to clean the studio behind them.
Right, and to help with costuming and
be
and
backstage,
building.
Helping with, and that
some the lobby display.
Right.
There's a lot of work apart from what the audience sees on stage, and it really takes dozens of adults.
Yes.
And the Players Organization, we're all volunteers, so we supply a lot of those bodies, but the parents in a large cast show like this play an important role, and we're really grateful for the help that they've given us and continue to give us.
Our tech director backstage is Kevin Belvel, who does an awesome job of organizing backstage, where the pieces go backstage,
and
where it has to move and all of this, and we had our first tech rehearsal last night, and he had like 6 either parents or former parents
helping to move
move everything around. One student who has helped me with my camps in the past, it is absolutely a village,
and it's a huge challenge.
It's an ensemble.
To fit everything back there. I know, especially when you have a cast with almost 40 people. You have set pieces. I know, because I'm involved with the set for the next show, and the set has to be choreographed as well as the actors backstage, you know, because there's so little space. It's a beautiful theater, but the stage backstage is small.
And on the topic of it takes a village or an army, we've really been pressing into our PR, so into our monthly email newsletter, into our printed newsletter, into any articles and opportunities like this, we've been calling out to the public to say that we are open to all comers. We need volunteers. We welcome volunteers. And particularly now that people are out and about and back in the world, we are adding new volunteers all the time. And we need them. My email address is at the Players website, which is communityplayersofconcord.org. And if you go to that website, you can go to the top, and there's my email address. And I welcome your viewers to contact me to say, gee, I might be interested. And what I usually do is I invite these people. I might have one a week. Come in. We do a studio tour. We have a large studio building in East Concord, which is a really cool place to visit. And I talk with the people, I show them around, and we talk about what their skills, experiences, interests have been. Some of these people did theater back in high school. They're my age. They did theater back in high school. I'm like, gee, I think I might like to do that. So we have new retirees that are
new
coming.
New people that moved to town.
Moved to town. Young people that moved to town. They don't know anybody. They're looking for a social outlet.
We have 2 of them in our cast.
Really?
Oh, yeah, they came from, they moved from Pennsylvania. And the mom contacted me before they moved and said, my kids are so involved in theater. Please tell me that you have a theater. It's like,
I heard like the day after they moved, they auditioned, for the show.
Right. They actually auditioned online.
Isn't that?
And then they showed up.
Oh, how wonderful. Yeah.
And on our website, there is, under the Get Involved tab, there is an auditions page. So if any viewers are interested to know what audition opportunities are coming up, the next one will be for our February show, which I won't get into here, but we do have an auditions page, and auditions are open. We don't precast. It's not from within a closed organization. It's very open.
But all that information is available 24/7 online. People can go to it very easily and access it.
So, and if they want to be alerted that auditions have been announced or something's coming up, at our website as well, people can subscribe to that monthly e-newsletter I mentioned, and then you'll know. You'll know that, oh, look, the auditions page is up for the next show.
That's right. Yeah, put it on your calendar and show up. Mm-hmm. Ellen, I wanted to take a moment and kind of compliment you. The time that we went through the pandemic and COVID, and we were worried about different things with the organization. Our shows stopped and started, as with many groups did, and they didn't know, what their calendar was going to look like, let alone their financial picture for the next year. Mm. And I think you really went a long way toward helping the organization find a track to make us, get through that whole period. In terms of, when our shows would happen, what we could afford to do, and when. And I think now you've found a lot of funding. Mm-hmm. Exactly. As you said, these sponsors like Rapponi, Nathan Wexler, this show would not be possible without, to the degree that you're doing it, without
those sponsors.
Thank you. Exactly. Right.
Too.
But you've done a lot in that avenue, I think, for the organization, and it's really helped us a great deal. You have come upon a new opportunity for the organization that I think you wanted to speak about today.
Yes, yeah. And I certainly will not take credit for this because this opportunity came to us. Mm-hmm. It's an opportunity for the players to finally have a kind of endowment. We don't want to call it an endowment because it's an endowment has its own sort of restrictions that do not apply here. But here's the bottom line. We have a donor who's a longtime fan of the players and came to us and said, look, I would like to make a substantial gift to the players, but what I would like is for this gift of money that I would give to you, I want it to be invested and to remain invested so that it will generate income over the years. Mm-hmm. And this is the endowment sort of feature. That the money is being donated not to be spent, but to be invested and to support us into the future. And so the donor said, here's what I would like to do. I would like to donate $50,000, but only as a challenge. I want you, the players, to match that. Mm-hmm. And so the goal is that we will have a fund with a minimum of $100,000 in principal invested to generate income for the next 100 years is what we're calling it, because the players are coming up on our 100th year anniversary. Mm. You referred to our longevity.
That's correct.
We are in our 96th year and beginning plans for 100th anniversary celebrations. We are one of the oldest institutions in Concord, next to maybe Merrimack County Savings Bank.
And one of the oldest community theaters in New England, I believe.
Yeah. Correct. And so this donor says, look, we're coming up on the 100th anniversary. Let's raise $100,000 to be invested.
Right.
And so, just this week, we are launching this campaign called A Fund for the Players. Mm-hmm. And our goal is to raise the $50,000 that we need to match the donor's challenge. Now, I am happy to report that we are well on our way already because of some substantial early contributions. But it is now time for us to talk to our supporters, to the public, to lovers of theater who would like to help support the players into its next 100 years and beyond. And so currently at our website, there is a dedicated page to the A Fund for the Players appeal. And there, the reader can read the details I've just described and then also find out ways to donate. So one would be to do a print out a donor form and mail it in. Another would be to on the spot make a donation online, which
they can do straight through. Yep.
Another option that our volunteer tech wizards have set up is that if you do online donation, you could do it monthly.
Okay.
So if that's more comfortable for a person, they can make a monthly gift.
So a number of options are available.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So we're very excited by that. You know, the players historically relied on ticket sales. And we had razor-thin budgets and barely had any money at the checking account at the end of one season as we were facing the royalty payments for the next season.
And prior to that, we used to make enough money, we could give it away to charities.
Way back.
That was way back.
No mas.
That's not really. We're the charity now.
But the reason that doesn't work anymore
is
that the goal of a community theater organization like us is to have theater affordable.
Yes.
And while our tickets have, our tickets are still only $20.
And have been maybe 10 years or more.
They were a couple dollars less. Mm. Costs have gone up.
Yes.
Much.
Oh, much so, yeah.
Higher than that. And yet we can't say, well, it's now costing us X. The tickets now need to be $40 or $50, where they probably belong.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to fulfill our mission of having this local, affordable theater experience for and by the community. Prices need to be here, but costs keep going up.
That's right.
And so this is why it's so critical that we have these corporate sponsors, that we apply for grants, that we look for alternative revenue streams.
Yes.
And this donor who has come to us and who wishes to remain anonymous recognizes that this fund for the players could be another important revenue stream that just is over here doing its work year after year after year, while we have to work very hard to get the grants, to get the corporate sponsorships, to sell the program ads. An endowment sort of investment fund is kind of a passive source of income.
Yes,
and that will be very effective.
But yet only one of kind of, you know, the word constellation comes to mind,
really
a group of revenue streams coming in as tickets are not going to do it alone.
No.
Sponsorships not do, you know, all of these things have to be working in concert, you know.
That's
After just building scenery, for example, the prices of things that you need, it never came down again, you know. They said, oh, it's the supply chain. Well, there must be other issues because it's still at those high prices. It's very, very expensive to put these
fabrics
shows together.
For costumes.
You know, and as you say, we are making a financial, not that, whatever, to make the shows available to the community. $15 a ticket for a full show, I mean, that's phenomenal. $20, whatever. It's still extremely low, you know.
So we have a group of people that have been working on this appeal effort for a fund for the players. As I said, there is a web page now. We have 5,000 plus addresses on our mailing list.
Yes.
So people who are on our mailing list will receive within the next 2-3 weeks, maybe four, they'll be getting a letter in the mail, which again will explain it. We'll have a donation form. At that time, we will also be going out to social media, press release.
Yes.
So, Concord TV, you're hearing of it first.
truly,
this is the first
public
announcement.
Right, right.
I'll be on another medium tomorrow talking about this as well. But this is the beginning, and what we'd like to do is get this appeal out there in all these different ways, raise the funds, and then be able to put that aside.
Right, and it will continue to be a productive source for us, which is great. You know, this has been a great program, and I want to thank Karen for coming on. You have so much to say, and I want, if people haven't seen the documentary, The Players, that Concord TV produced.
I haven't even seen it.
Oh, Karen, well, Karen, you're like, you should, you are fabulous in it. You are so good. She tells the story of how the Children's Theater Project came to be, and it's really amazing.
Yeah.
And so I highly recommend, if you haven't seen it, go on YouTube, Community Players of Concord, The Players. It will come up right away. And you clear an hour and a half, because you're going to need it. It's a lot of fun to watch. So
I saw trailers of it. But
It's
great. Produced by Concord TV.
It was produced by Concord TV.
And I don't like watching myself.
Right.
For one reason.
These programs. Concord TV did a fantastic job after more than a year of research and intensive.
By you and doing
you,
all that stuff.
And the guys, all of us at the station.
With financial support from, was it the Humanities Council?
Yes, New Hampshire Humanities, right.
It's a professionally produced, entertaining, easy and
historical
interesting
view.
Yes, because you know, 96 years, this goes back, there's a lot of Concord history there.
Yeah. Yep.
And people, now and then I post pictures online, the families are still here and they always comment on things.
And it is too much to tell you.
It's too much.
In these sort of
much in a half hour show.
Right.
The main thing is that people have to go and see Finding Nemo this weekend. Finding Nemo Jr. at the Concord City Auditorium. Great cast, great production,
not
really
be
funny, delight. You will not be visually. Bring your sunglasses. It's like it's just it is one of the most colorful things I've seen.
I think a lot of times people think that youth in theater is like they're kids.
No.
They're not. They're like wow, kids. Holy moly!
Exactly.
Yeah, they do an awesome job.
Your shows always bring that element to the fore.
Yeah,
so I appreciate
they do a great job, and like you said, visually.
It's popping. Yeah, it is. Ellen, thank you so much for telling us about the opportunity of a fund for the Players. All the information is on the Players website, communityplayersofconcord.org. You can find out about shows, tickets, auditions, getting involved on stage, backstage. And if you would like to make a contribution to the organization, there are many different ways to do it. You can find out about online. So thank you for watching the show. We hope you will find out about our performances online at communityplayersofconcord.org. You can get tickets for Finding Nemo Jr. coming up this weekend. You can find out about how to get involved in the organization. You can work backstage, you can work on stage, you can find out how to make a contribution to keep this wonderful organization going, Community Arts in the Concord City. Thank you so much for joining us.